It's great to see kids from Res Kids up there. They're learning this story so increment by increment. Please turn in your Bible to Luke, the 24th chapter. I'll begin with verse 1. As I'm reading, would you listen for the Word of God? Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming, bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth, and he returned home, wondering what had happened. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? By your word and your spirit, give us a sense of the presence of the one who is alive forevermore. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. So I know I have a lot of golf lovers in this church. I hear the stories, and I know that you are out there on the course frequently. I bet you were watching TV last Sunday. They're one of the 21% of all TVs that were on in the country watching the finals of the Masters. Tiger Woods won his first major title after 11 years. This is a major comeback. 11 years ago, he started a physical, moral, professional meltdown. And nobody thought he'd ever win a major title again. And last week, he did. Well, that got me curious about major comebacks. Back in early 2000, Sports Illustrated ran an article about major comebacks. And they had things on there like number 10, Elvis Presley. So Elvis had been the king of rock and roll, and then he stopped doing that. Remember, he started making these kind of schlocky movies in Hollywood for a number of years. And then he surprised everybody, his critics, his fans. In 1968, he had a comeback tour, and it really did shock everybody who kind of thought that they knew what Elvis was all about. Major comeback. Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, because he wouldn't fight in the Vietnam War, was stripped of his heavyweight title. He wasn't allowed to fight for years. And then in 1974, he came back, and he beat George Foreman and Zaire, and he won back the heavyweight title. There are other people on the list, Harry Truman, people that you'd recognize. But if you look really closely, it's kind of hard to see at the Sports Illustrated article down at number one. Way down at number one, Sports Illustrated picked Jesus Christ as the number one comeback of all time. He said, defying critics, on the third day, he rose from the dead. Now, that is an all-time comeback. Our remembrance of the event begins with the women going out to the tomb. If you remember the chaos of Friday night, Jesus had died. A Roman soldier had stuck a spear up into his chest, into his heart, to make sure that he was dead. They had pulled his lifeless body down. It was getting close to the Sabbath, and according to Jewish law, you can't handle a corpse when the Sabbath starts. So they found a borrowed tomb, and they threw Jesus in there. The Pharisees were so concerned about somebody taking the body of Jesus that they went to Pilate, asked that a Roman guard be placed there and the governor's seal be placed on the stone. Anybody who broke that seal would be put to death. So Friday night, Saturday pass. On Sunday morning, these women want to give Jesus a proper burial. So they're going out there with these spices to do just that. But when they get there, seal's broken, stone's rolled back, the guard is gone, and there's no body. Jesus isn't there. As they're thinking about that, two men appear, angelic visitors, and they say, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's risen." The women run back to town to tell the men what they've seen. When they tell the apostles what they've seen, they think it's nonsense. Well, everybody except Peter, and in another gospel we find out John also, Peter and John ran out to the tomb. And when they got to the tomb, well, it says in verse 12, Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself, what had happened? Wondering. How much wonder do you have in your life? You still wonder about things, wonder about the universe, wonder about life? Or does that kind of get twisted out of us as we grow older? It's something that Christ cared about. You can see that in Matthew, the 18th chapter. When the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus has a little child come over and stand by him. And he says this, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, I don't think Jesus is talking about being childish. Pee Wee Herman is childish. That's not what he's asking us to be. Childlike, there are certain qualities about children that he was advocating. Like being inquisitive, asking a lot of questions, being curious, being filled with wonder. You remember that? It's something that allows us to be open to spiritual truth when it's being revealed to us. God isn't through with us. God has things to reveal to us. And actually, we really admire adults who maintain that sense of curiosity in their life. Many times, they're very creative people. People like Leonardo da Vinci. He was a Renaissance man, but he was an amazingly creative person. And he said of most of the adults that he knows, they see, but they don't really see anything. They hear, but they don't listen. They breathe, but they don't really smell. They eat, but they don't really taste. He disciplined himself to maintain his sense of curiosity and observation. We have 7,000 written notes of his observations of daily life, including as he was laying dying on his deathbed, he was writing down the symptoms that he was experiencing. That's a commitment to curiosity. But he's also a person that created the Mona Lisa. He envisioned helicopters and robots hundreds of years before they ever took place. There's something about being curious that allows us to discover new truth. I love the wonder that I see in children, the faith of children. It's powerful. Sue and I raised 4 girls. About this time of year, a number of years ago, we took the kids down to Reed's Landing from right to left. That's Christina. And Julia's about 4, Sophia, Johanna, niece and nephew, Hans and Heidi, and Sue. And Sue had wanted to go down and see the Eagles, so the kids were really excited. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. I remember how fired up they were. Sue's looking over Julia's shoulder, and they're looking at Eagles. I'm not entirely sure who Johanna's looking at right there. She's making sure nobody sneaks up on us, I think. But the excitement that those kids had about going down there, if we could only be that excited about new adventures in our life and not lose hold of that. I remember that Julie was about this age, about four. She wanted to have a sleep out on the floor, so I don't believe my back has ever been the same since we had that sleep out. And it was around this time that I was reading the Bible, and we were done, and the kids would say their prayers, and Julia said this prayer. It was a very earnest prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us. We really appreciate it. I hope you're feeling better. I love the curiosity and the openness of children. Christ is asking us to maintain that regarding the story of his resurrection. It's not just a metaphor. It's not just poetry. Something happened back then that rippled out from Jerusalem and hasn't stopped rippling out. It was an event that was so jarring for those men and women that many of them went to their death saying, I met the resurrected Christ. I saw him dead and I saw him alive. Nobody has ever done something like that. And the reason that you and I should care about the resurrection is when Christ was resurrected, all of his promises came true. It's like the exclamation mark on all of the things that Christ taught us. That you can be forgiven for whatever has happened in the past. That you and I can be a friend of God. Do you remember what Jesus said? I don't call you servants. I call you my friend. That we can be rewarded in the sacrifices of our life. Christ said, if you've left your business, your family, to come and follow me and live for a greater good, 100 times that sacrifice will be given back to you. And what we often talk about on Easter, we can be given a new life. Have you ever just wanted a new start, a new life? I think we all have, maybe multiple times in our life. Just another start, a fresh chance. In many ways, that's what Christ is offering to us. When Sue and I were starting our life together, we were down in Chicago. I was going to seminary, and she was working in a large law firm down in downtown Chicago. And there was a church down there. Philip Yancey went to this church, and they would have an Easter sunrise service on the beach right down there in Lake Michigan. Now think of this time of year and those dedicated souls down there on the beach at Lake Michigan. And I'm going to take it one step further. They would do adult immersion baptisms in Lake Michigan. How much do you love Jesus? Right? I remember a reporter talking to a woman who had just been baptized. And he said, what does this mean to you? And she looked right at the camera and she said, last year I was dead. This year, I'm alive. Praise Jesus. A dead man can't save anybody, but a living Savior can. When you and I trust, when we remain open, curious, we wonder about the power of the resurrection and what that would be like in our life, we leave ourselves open for the rewards of being a disciple, for being accepted by that which is greater than ourselves, by being a friend of God, by having the chance at new life and eternal hope. And for you and for me, that would be the greatest comeback of all time. Amen.